Welcome to Perspective Transformation with Marty and Friends. Whether you're looking for encouragement, practical training, or clear focus, you'll want to grab a notebook, as today's guest trainer shares rock-solid strategies you can implement starting immediately. Sponsored by WomenSpeakers.com, here's your host, Marnie Swedberg.
Hi, it's Marnie. Excited to have you with us for five keys for writing and strategies. And we're going to talk today with our guest, Shelley Hitz. This is going to be so fun. You're going to want to grab a notepad for sure, because we're going to talk about the first strategy to employ, how to begin today, and why it's so important. Also, the one thing you can do to ensure you're prioritizing your writing. An insider secret to writing productivity, and it's fun, easy, and free to implement. Also, the key to moving past self-doubt, fear, and self-sabotage, and how to manage and maximize your energy levels and environmental influences. Our guest today is Shelley Hitz. She's an author, coach, and mentor to writers inside the Christian Book Academy, an online membership program, along with her husband, CJ. Shelley and CJ help you write words that outlive you and to help you self-publish books that fulfill your calling and reach more readers with your message. The website is christianbookacademy.com, and you can also invite her to speak over at womenspeakers.com. So I'm super excited to welcome here today Shelley Hitz. Hi, Shelley.
Hi, Marnie. Thank you so much.
Yeah, well, I love having you here. And you're one of our speakers. You've been with us forever and ever. And you have really niched into this support of writers.
Yes, it's really been something that God has just led me to do. I've tried to, maybe like Jonah, try to escape it a couple times. And the Lord's like, nope, this is what I have for you. And so we've been mentoring writers for over 11 years now. And we've had our academy for 6.5. And it's been a decade since I quit my physical therapy job to do this full time.
Wow, that's so cool. You guys have a big conference going on right now. Tell us a little about that.
Yeah. So to celebrate all of these things, you know, especially 10 years of, you know, quitting my job and, you know, taking that big, bold step of faith, we're hosting what we're calling the Kingdoms Writers Conference, and it's free to sign up. And we're just so excited to really just gather together so many writers and really help you to integrate God in your writing.
Yeah, I love that. And that link to that free conference is just included in the show notes. So you guys can link right over there now. And you have quite a few speakers coming to that.
Yeah, we have 15 speakers over 5 days. And we're just really thrilled that so many writers are joining us. And it's just going to be a fun time.
Oh, that's great. Well, you guys want to be sure to catch that. And now let's go ahead and dive in, because I know you came for some rock solid strategies that will help you write and get that book out there that God's put in your heart to share. So what would you say is the number one strategy for a writer?
Well, first of all, I've been working with writers for a long time, and I know there's a lot of writers that never finish their books. So if you're someone that has an unfinished manuscript sitting somewhere on your hard drive or in a journal, don't worry, you're not alone. There's a lot of that. And sometimes it's just because it's not the right time. But I always tell writers, like, do what works best for you in the way that God has created you to work, not try to shove a round peg into a square hole. And so that's the biggest thing as we start to get into some strategies. But one of the things that I found that really helped writers to develop a habit of writing is to track. And like, track your writing. And I can hear like the groans, like, oh, I don't want to track it. It's kind of like budgeting, you know, no one really loves that. I mean, not very many people really love budgeting.
Unless you're an accountant, right?
Right. Unless you're into that. But I'm not saying you have to do it forever. So you do it for a week, for 2 weeks. But whatever we monitor and track, we manage. And so you are able then, when you start to track your writing and you start to track what's working for you, instead of just trying to be another Shelley or another Marnie or another someone else, and you see what time of day is working for you, what environment's working for you, what kind of writing on, you know, whether it's paper and pen or it's on a computer, then you can start to see the trends. And so, you know, what I have done is I recommend that writers, you know, track the time of day, location. If you can, your word count, so you can kind of see when was I really in the flow and when was I not, total time, and your energy level, like what was going on. And then what happens is as you track those things, even if you just do it for a week, you're going to start to see trends. And for me, I work best, you know, when I write during a certain time of day, like in the early afternoon. Some other people, that might be like their crash time, right? Right after lunch. And so I really encourage you just to try it. And so many of my clients have found that it's helpful, even just for a very short time.
Yeah, that's excellent. And so I think one of the things that I'm hearing with the tracking, and I teach these, or I lead these 21-day win group coaching sessions.
Yeah.
And one of the things we talk about there is just to be really authentic and accountable.
Right.
And that doesn't mean be perfect. It doesn't mean I'm going to start tracking today, therefore I must do this many hours every single day or I'm a loser. I think it's really important to give yourself a lot of flexibility, especially when you're just starting, to go ahead and, like you said, explore and don't feel like you have to know what you're doing. Just start to help you learn what to do, what's really working.
Yeah. And we recommend starting with a minimum of 15 minutes a day. So if you can at least do like 15 minutes a day, that's a starting point. You know, I say there's typically two different kinds of writers, your consistent writer who's writing a little bit every day and your chunk writer who's writing in chunks of time. And we're all a little bit different. And sometimes it's a combination, right? Sometimes we do a little bit of both, but knowing kind of who you are and where you are and what works for you is going to really be a key to seeing those words get onto paper and the things that God has really called you to do.
Do you find that at the Academy that you work mostly with consistent writers versus chunk writers?
You know, it's interesting because that's what I would typically stereotype writers as, right? A consistent writer. You're writing these many words every day or this much amount of time every day. But we have 2-day virtual writing retreats every month inside of our Academy right now. And so it's chunk writing. So we, you know, we write for 4 hours each day. And I'm realizing that a lot of writers really thrive in that kind of environment as well, because there's that deadline and the accountability and all those things. But so I think it's a combination. But yeah, I think typically you would stereotype most writers in that consistent writer camp.
Yeah, that's what I've kind of found. I'm very much of a chunk writer. I write when I have, I wrote 2 books in the past, you know, 18 months, but I haven't written anything for probably now 12 or 13 months. And so there was just a really push for a couple products that came out. And then now it's quiet for a little while here.
Yeah.
So I think that it's important once again, to just see who you are, what works right for you,
right?
What your deadlines are like that. I mean, I know a lot of the speakers at womenspeakers.com, and they're on contract for a book a year. You got to be a consistent writer if you're going to put out a book a year.
Right. Yeah. Or have consistent chunk times. So I'm more of a chunk writer. And so, but if I'm on a deadline, then I'll just, you know, put those chunks of time consistently on my calendar because I have so many other things to do in our business that if I try to do that every day and then try to switch gears every single day, it's really hard for my brain. And so, you can actually be a consistent chunk writer too.
Cool. That's cool. Cool. Good. Okay. So the first strategy to employ is to schedule some time to begin today, and why it's important. Are we covered there? Did we get through that?
Well, actually, the first one was tracking. The second one is to schedule it. So, you know, I know that writing is often the last thing on our to-do list, you know, of priorities.
Because I have time.
Right. It's tyranny of the urgent. And so if we don't schedule it in our day, it's probably not going to happen because there's so many other things vying for our time and energy and our attention. And so I encourage you, you know, it's like, you know, it's true. If it's on the calendar, it happens. So to think of it kind of like you're scheduling an appointment. And, you know, like if you're scheduling a coffee chat with a friend or a doctor's appointment, you're not going to cancel that unless it's an extreme emergency, typically. And so think of it like that. Put it on your calendar, block it off. If people ask you to do something, say, you know what, I already have another commitment. Set boundaries and really, you know, just guard that time because it is important. And whatever God has called you to do, and whether it's even just sometimes journaling for your healing journey, you know, it's like that is sacred time and that is important time. And so I think it's easy to let it go to the wayside, but yeah, to put it on the schedule.
Good, good, good. Anything else on this one?
I love the quote by Stephen Covey. It says, "The key is not to prioritize what's on your schedule, but to schedule your priorities."
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
And so sometimes that means saying no to some things in order to make room for saying yes to whatever God is leading you to do with your writing.
I know for me, it really helped to understand that every time I say yes to something, I've said no to something else.
Right.
Because it's hard for us to say no. But and I liked the way you phrased it. It's so honest and it's so true that I already have a prior commitment. That's honest and true.
There's nothing
about deception there in any way, shape, or form. If you were going to work that day at a job, you would say the same thing. Sorry, I'm already booked for those hours. So
yeah, and there is flexibility. I mean, as God and as the Holy Spirit leads you, but
right, of course, yeah,
yeah. But to know, like, I'm going to prioritize this. I'm going to make time for this.
Yeah, absolutely. So, what's one thing that you can do to ensure that you're prioritizing your writing and delivery?
Yeah. So I think maybe that was the scheduling point is, you know, to put it on your calendar. And, I found that different things work for different people. And when I was first mentoring, you know, years ago, you know, I would teach people to do it exactly like I do it. And I realized, like, some people, it works better if you have like a big calendar on your wall and you're writing things on that. Some people it works better if it's on your phone, your Google Calendar. Some people it works better if you have a paper and pen calendar that you're writing out. Now, I'm more of a hybrid, so I use a little bit of both. I print stuff out, I have a calendar on my wall, and I use my Google Calendar, you know. I do use a little bit of both, but knowing what works best for you again, and what's going to be consistent, help you to be consistent with sticking with that schedule is good.
Yeah, that's great. One of the things that I was going to talk about is this prioritizing. And when you are scheduling, so I'm going to use your conference that you have going here as an example. If you were to just say to all of your over a dozen presenters, when you get to it, if you could just send me your class title and description and a photo and the download and all that. And, you know, just whenever you get to it is fine. How would that work for you?
Yeah, it would be stressful. Yeah. And, you know, I may not have the information that I need in time. And so I had to really set deadlines. And there were a couple speakers that didn't give me their information. And I said, if I don't have your information by this date, I'm sorry, but I'm going to have to remove you from the speaker lineup. And I hate to do that. But I mean, my team needs time. I need time. Right. Like we have to have those things ready. And so, you know, I think, you know, again, with the writing, you know, even setting little deadlines for yourself.
That was my point. Yeah.
So helpful and, you know, help you to move forward as well.
Yeah. I think human nature is to kind of, like you said, the tyranny of the urgent is to put it off until you just can't put it off anymore. But if you can set yourself some deadlines, that's going to really help you to actually move forward and get chapters done and get sections done, at least outlined. And then, you know, you get to the filling it in as you go. What is an insider secret to writing productivity?
Yeah. So it was about 6 years ago, I just researched and researched and researched writing productivity. And about 90% of the things that I was seeing was kept mentioning the Pomodoro technique. And so I looked into it and basically the Pomodoro technique is a time blocking strategy. Mm-hmm. So you work or you write for a certain amount of time, then you take a break. You work and write for a certain amount of time, take a break. The typical Pomodoro schedule is 25 minutes and then 5 minute break. But what we found works better for writers tends to be 50 minutes and then take a 10 minute break. So you stay in the writing flow a little bit longer. Yeah. But what I found in my research over and over and over is that people would talk about the Pomodoro equaling productivity with their writing. And the part of the power of it is this whole thing of setting little mini deadlines. Mm-hmm. So you're giving your brain a deadline and say, okay, I'm going to focus on this. I'm turning off Facebook, email, my, you know, cell phone notification, all the things. I'm only going to focus on this one task. And then I, you know, your brain knows I'm going to be doing this for 50 minutes and then I'm going to take a break. And it also helps. I've had overuse injuries over the years from being on the computer so much. So this technique also builds in breaks. And I know sometimes when you get in the writing zone, you don't want to take a break, but your body needs a break. Your brain needs a break. And so it builds in some breaks. And I have just found that a majority of people work really well with this. Not everybody, but it's definitely something worth trying if you've never tried it before. And basically, you're setting a timer. So I have all sorts of little timers I've bought over the years. This is what Amazon. But you know, you just set a timer on your phone, on the computer, wherever, and then your brain sees, okay, I have this amount of time to work, and then you focus on that one thing. And then when the timer goes off, take a break. So go do something else, walk around, get a drink of water, stretch, and use that break for that time. And it's so interesting because I found some of my writers have loved it so much. They now use it for all sorts of tasks.
Right.
So one of my members inside Christian Book Academy, she's like, now I use it for my cleaning and, you know, anything that I'm doing at home. And I find that if there's a task I'm resisting and I don't want to do, this is a technique that I can employ at any time. It's free. It's easy. You know, you just turn your timer on, you turn off everything else. Right. And it really helps me, you know, to move forward.
I remember when we owned the restaurant, and one of the things that after a restaurant closes at night is you have all this cleanup to do.
Right.
It's usually about an hour or 2 hours worth of cleaning up, washing dishes, washing counters, just cleaning, 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 cleaning. And I had this one team in particular that nobody liked to do the dishes. Nobody on that team liked to do dishes. They all hated it. And so, but I would just drop in, or I'd hear about their team and they would just got along great and everything was going good. So I finally asked him one day, I said, so how are you guys handling the dishes? Cause I know none of you want to do it. So how are you doing that? And they said, well, we just came up with that. We would just set a timer and that we would just work really hard at dishes for 10 minutes. And then when that timer rang, we got to go do something else and somebody else would take their turn. And it felt fair to them. Mm-hmm. And it gave them an end in sight. And I think that time blocking, that's really the key, is to, you know, they've done tests with people where they have somebody who gets on the treadmill and just is supposed to run for 3 minutes as hard as they can. And then you've got the person next to them and just run as fast as you can, as hard as you can, and will tell you when to stop. Well, the person who knows they only have 3 minutes, they give it way more effort than the person that doesn't have any idea of how long they're supposed to be going. Because when you know that you only have to go so long and then your brain's going to get a break, you can really invest your whole self into it.
Yeah.
And so go ahead.
It's kind of like, you know, leading up to before a vacation and
you
get all the things done because you know you have to, because you're leaving on vacation. Mm-hmm. But one thing I do want to caution is not to overuse this technique. So you can actually burn yourself out if you do it too much. So what they recommend and all the research they've done with the brain and all of that is after 2 hours of this intense focus, take a longer break of 30 minutes or longer, give your brain a break, and then come back if you want for another 2 hour session. And again, you can break that up however you want. We found, like I said, for writers, it tends to work better 50 to 10, but some of our writers have ADHD or ADD. And so they prefer the shorter periods, like 25 to 5 minutes. So find what works best for you, but don't overdo it. It will lead to burnout because you're pushing. You are pushing at a different intensity and a different level. But if you use it sparingly and like in the right, you know, times, it can be so powerful. I've had actually people finish their first drafts, and it's again your ugly, messy first draft. First draft is never your final draft. Yeah. But I've had people finish their first drafts just in 2 days at a retreat of mine because they're using a technique so like this.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. I know when I write, I like at least 90 minutes uninterrupted. And typically I will go for an hour and a half to 3 hours uninterrupted. And then I will take a bigger break and then I'll come at it again. And for me, that works really well just because I have a hard time to get back in the flow. Once I get out of it, I do better if I stay in the flow. And then take a little bit bigger break. But I think the key here is that I don't sit down and say, I'm going to sit here until I'm done with the whole thing.
Right.
You know, it isn't like that. You're saying to yourself, I give you permission to be a human.
Yes.
Yeah. So what is the key to moving past self-doubt, fear, and self-sabotage? Okay, before you even address this, these are huge. And whenever you step out to say, get on a platform, or get on a podcast like this, or write a book, you're really exposing, let's say you're just exposing yourself. So I like to say, I first heard it leading worship music. So I lead worship at our church. And somebody once told me, an experienced worship leader said, basically, it's kind of like if you're standing up there naked and you're just asking everybody to throw arrows at you, just like, here I am, just point out anything you see that isn't perfect, you know? And he said, you have to recognize that you are in the hands of God and that he's going to take care of you and you're going to be able to handle any arrows that come flying your way. And I've really kept that in mind across all public platforms. When you start saying, I have something here that you will enjoy reading or listening to or whatever, and somebody doesn't like it, it can be very painful.
Of course.
And I think you have to be prepared for that. So having kind of laid that foundation that we already kind of know what this is going in, so the fear isn't false evidence of appearing real. There's actually some things that could really happen here that are uncomfortable.
Of course. Yeah. And when I started working and coaching and mentoring writers, it was more of a general genre of any writer, self-published, you know, that sort of thing. And then God really led me to working specifically with Christian writers in 2015. And what I found is that it tends to be mindset issues are an issue for any writer. You know, there's that resistance.
Right.
There's all of those things that can come. But I think for anyone who's a Christian writer and has their faith, I just really believe that there can be a very real spiritual battle as well when you sit down to write, especially if it's something God's called you to do and it's, you know, making an impact for eternity. And so one of the things I've recommended for my you know, clients and members for years is to form a small prayer team. So it doesn't have to be this huge amount of people. It can be two or three people that commit to pray for you every week. You send them specific requests. I've been doing this for years. Mm-hmm. And it was somebody in our church that recommended it to us when we were speakers. And she said, do you have a prayer ministry for your speaking? And we're like, no. She's like, you need one. And she, you know, explained it. And so I've seen the power of it in my own life. And that's, you know, we do recommend that, you know, if you are a believer, even if you're not writing Christian material, to have a few people praying for you and supporting you, but also to recognize that these mindset issues are going to crop up. I think sometimes we go into writing and it just thinks like, oh, I'm going to just put words on a paper on the paper. And we don't always expect the, you know, the battle in the mind that comes up. And so we've, you know, put together over the years, different affirmations for writers that, you know, you can use. And even like, you know, replacing the lies with the truth and, you know, but just the affirmations of like, my writing matters, my voice matters, you know, just different things that can help you, you know, in those moments. Matthew 12:34b says, for out of the fullness, the overflow, the superabundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so I think it is important, even though it seems like a side thing and it seems like it's not a big deal, to really prepare yourself when you go into a writing session mentally, you know, as well as for all the things you're going to do creatively and physically.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that so much. I'm thinking at the same time of those thoughts can be so distracting.
Right.
And so keeping a notebook next to me, I actually do this when I pray as well. I keep a notebook next to me. And when I have a distracting thought, then I just pause, I write it down, and I say, I'll think about you later.
Yes.
I'm not going to ignore it, and I'm not going to try to remember it.
Mm-hmm.
I have it written down. I will deal with it later. And that really has freed me up to completely focus on whatever it is I'm supposed to be focusing on. It does help when you're writing, though, because, and I know for me, especially, I remember one time when I was praying early on, when I was praying for longer periods of time, the thought would come, you're wasting your time. This is such a waste of time. And for a writer who hasn't yet been published, or maybe they just don't, you know, have the confidence or whatever, a lot of times you can feel like that, I'm just wasting my time. And so to actually know that you're not, that God's got you, this is where you're supposed to be, what you're supposed to be doing, is really, really helpful. So that's cool. All right, let's talk about how to manage and maximize your energy levels and environmental influences. You're back.
So sorry. Speaking of spiritual battles, our electricity went out and I had to get on the wireless through my phone, the hotspot. Well,
welcome back. You're looking good. So that's all right. We were talking about how to, just starting into now, how to manage and maximize your energy levels and the environmental influences. And you guys, I think I want to just pause here before we go on, because this was a great moment to just think about this. So you're going to, in your ministry, in your writing, in whatever you're called to do, you're going to have moments like this where it's going along just fine. And then all of a sudden it isn't working, right? And you're like, what's going on? And then all you're supposed to do in that moment is what I say is that Philippians 4:6, just praise God, say, I need help. And then do the next thing that comes to your heart and trust God for the results. You know, you just went and did whatever you thought of to do next. And here we are back together. Yeah. Maybe didn't need to end up that way. Maybe could have been gone for the whole rest of the interview. We don't know. But the only thing is we can know is that when we're walking with God, whatever's happening, everything that comes into my life, Satan wants to use to destroy me. Everything that comes into my life, God wants to use for my good. So what am I going to focus on? Yeah. Great.
Amen. Okay, so I always say, like, when I'm speaking, I have a plan A, B, C, and D. Like, I print off my slides. I have a, you know, thumb drive. I have all the things, because there's always going to be something that happens.
Right. Absolutely. Cool. Okay. Yeah. So manage and maximize your energy levels and your environment.
Yeah. So this is an interesting one. And I have just been really interested to hear different people's stories of what works for them. But again, you want to look for trends, you know, when and where do you tend to write best? And it's different for everyone. But like, if you write in different locations, do you get different results? So for my husband, he tends to do better if he goes to a coffee shop, where I do better from at home in my pajamas, you know, like, I could just, you know, I don't have to you know, be around people or, you know, be distracted, you know, and then, you know, there's just a power of knowing that, but to not let that stop you from writing in less than ideal circumstances as well. So, you know, typically you'll find a sweet spot of even the time of day or the location where you write, but you may not be able to write at that time every day. One of my friends, Shay Bynes, she is the founder of Kingdom Driven Entrepreneur. And she says she writes best at like 1 a.m. And, you know, she may not always be able to do that because of her schedule. And if she has something early the next morning, and so she'll still write at other times of the day. But if she can write at her ideal time, then she will, you know? And I love this quote by E.B. White. It says, a writer who waits for ideal conditions under which to work will die without putting a word to paper, right? And yet, if you can optimize for what works best for you, why not do it? And so I met someone at a writer's conference that I was speaking at, and he came up to me after I was giving a presentation similar to this. And he said, you know, for me, I write best at the zoo. I'm like, the zoo? He says, there's a little picnic table tucked back behind, you know, the lion display. And he said, there's shade. But he said, it just flows for him. And he goes there. He got a, you know, a what do you call it? Like a pass. And he goes there as often as he can. You know, I've heard of other people that are busy and they have small little kids. And so they actually take their device and they go into their car and they'll go out and they'll write in their car for 15 to 30 minutes in chunks of time, or when they get home from work or before they leave, they'll sit there and they'll do a little bit of writing. So, you know, where there's a will, there's a way, right? But if you can think about like, what is ideal for you? Do you write better first thing in the morning, in the afternoon, in the evening? And then what kind of locations do you write best? But also, you know, what kind of different writing tools work best for you? So for my mom, she writes best. She's published, I think, 6 books now. She writes best with paper and pencil, not pen, pencil. She has to have pencil. And she came to one of my in-person writing retreats and she was helping with the cooking and she was writing a book too. And she tried to do it on her computer. And every time she would get stuck because she would go into self-editing mode, right? She would see all the things. Whereas on paper, she just lets it flow and lets that ugly, messy first draft come out of her head. And so I just want to encourage you, like, it can look different. Some of you are going to dictate on your phone, right? So I have a member of Christian Book Academy. He wrote his first draft while outside walking on his lunch breaks, dictating into his phone. And so just know that there is more than one way to do it. And even in different seasons of your life, it may look different, but that's okay. And that's actually good because you're able to adapt and to pivot as you need to.
One of my favorite photographs from back when I was writing my very first book, my kids were younger and my husband was doing a lot of traveling. We were homeschooling the older two and the youngest one was still just too little for that. And I have this picture of them with their little sleeping bags over their shoulders and the little one's got a handful of worms that he had picked up. It was raining. He's got this handful of worms and they've got their little sleeping bags because at that time, this ages me, in order to use a computer, I would go to the church and I had permission and I had a key and I could go in and I could use the computer, the one computer on the pastor's desk in the middle of the night. So I would get to bedtime, make it to bedtime. I'd get my 3 kids into the car, over to the church, into the room next to the pastor's office. I'd lay them down on their little sleeping bags and I would sit in the next room and go for as long as I could. And then we would go home, go to bed, and the next day I'd try to fit a nap in somewhere. But that's how my first book was written. Of course, I would never do that now because I don't have to. But at that time, that was the way it could happen. So I totally agree with you. There are going to be different seasons. And if there's a will, there's a way. If God's calling you to do it, he will carry you through it and it'll work. I can't hear you anymore, Shelley. I can see your mouth moving, but I cannot hear you.
Okay.
There we go. Yeah.
My electricity came back on. But yeah, and also to allow God to lead you in these things, because we talk about having business meetings with God and listening to him and allowing him to lead and guide your writing, even like what project to be focusing on right now, but also all these little nuances of what season it is and, you know, what's going to work best for you. The Holy Spirit can totally lead you in that and show you exactly, you know, what's going to work for you. And sometimes it's trial and error too, right? It's just trying things, seeing what's going to work. And that's where the tracking comes back into.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think what's one of the things that I've found too is that the more I let God determine the direction of things, the more things flow. So oftentimes what I find is I'll have an idea for a book that won't even get started, or maybe we'll get started and then set aside for years. But when I'm supposed to work on it, what I found is that all this time, things have been coming into my awareness and into my file and into my life that are supposed to be used in that book. So when it's time to write it, I actually have more and the correct material that I could have just written it back then, but it wouldn't have been at all the same book. And so there's a lot of comfort in that to me, that if you just walk with Jesus, it's going to work out. You don't have to worry about it.
Yeah. And And yet, you know, it's like going at the pace of his race. So, yeah. You know, not running ahead. I'm the type that tends to run ahead. And he gives me an idea and then I'm like, woo, it's like, slow down. And then some of you are more of like, woo, you know, you need a little bit of encouragement to get going. And so, you know, but wherever you're at, he's going to lead you to go at the pace of his grace. And when that book is to be published or when that thing is supposed to be done, that blog post or whatever, you know, he's going to give you what you need for that at that time. And I've heard so many stories similar to yours of, you know, the manuscript was in a first draft mode or it was started and yet it wasn't the time to release it to the world yet. And then when it was time, you know, God provided all of that.
Yeah. And not, I think the final story I want to share here is not to be surprised when God changes the order that you have in mind. I know one day I was swimming laps in the pool in the morning for exercise, and I was just talking to God and praying along. And he said, it's time to write the flow through vessel book. And I'm like, what flow through vessel book? I don't know this book. And he says, and I was talking to him about the book that was going to come next in my mind. And he's like, before you do that, write this other one. And I'm like, I don't even know what that's about. And so I think sometimes, you know, we have a plan, but God has his own plan. And so just to stay on track with him. And, you know, of all the books I've read, that's one of my favorites. The one that was just a surprise to me. I had no idea I was going to write that book until he just clearly put it in my heart to write it. So, you know, just I love that you work with Christian authors who are looking to God, are really more interested in what he has to say than what they have to say, and then let him flow through them whatever message they're supposed to bring to the world. And you guys, I want you to really consider checking out ChristianBookAcademy.com as well as this conference. You're speaking at it. What is your, do you remember what your category is, your topic?
Yeah, it's called Right Now, and it's right now, but overcoming the obstacles to your writing life. And then my husband is also doing a presentation, and his is called Priestly Pens. And he talks about how we are authors in the hands of, you know, the author of life. Or, you know, we're writing, but we're author, you know, we're in the hands of the author of life, and really talk about integrating God in the process. And so we have everything in between, talk about even hybrid authors and, you know, what to do when you're busy. I mean, one of the busiest persons I know, Dr. Tim Riordan, he's a pastor, he's a writer, publisher, he has I think 6 kids, but he has written and published 13 books, and he's going to be speaking on giving some practical tips on what's really helped him.